information, call 561-793-1400, or you can log on to thevillagegolfclub.com. And right now, as we do each and every week here on Golf Exchange, presented by the Honda Classic, it's the PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Ropes segment, so let's go Inside the Ropes.
For a quick look at a number of hot topics in the world of golf this week, let's go Inside the Ropes.
And Pat, as we mentioned at the top of the show, the Player Advisory Council met earlier this week at Riviera in Pacific Palisades, California. That's a cool name. I'd love to live in a town called Pacific Palisades for a number of reasons, because if you're living there, you know you're making pretty good coin as well. Anyway,
correct.
I digress. The Player Advisory Council recommended to the PGA Tour that the new cut policy, of course, that which we know that if the result is more than 78 players making the cut on Friday, the cut reverts to the lowest number below that for the final two rounds. The Player Advisory Council recommended that they keep the old 36-hole cut, and if that number results in 79 players or more, that they also implement a 54-hole cut to get down to a manageable number for Sunday. So now this new policy, it won't help a crowded playing field on Saturday's third round, because you're still going to get possibly 80, 81, 82, 83 guys making the cut on Saturday, but yet it will help the crowded rounds for Sunday's final round. 16-man Player Advisory Council met this week, like I said. Now, in a couple of weeks, the policy board, which is a 9-man council, will vote on the proposal during a meeting on Monday, February 25th at the Honda Classic. So, Pat, curious your thoughts on what the Player Advisory Council has recommended to the PGA Tour.
I'm putting my calculator away after you told me the cuts and the Saturday cuts. Here's the bottom line for the whole thing. I think it was admirable that the PGA Tour tried to figure out some way to get play on the weekends sped up a little bit, because you didn't want to run into 5.5-hour rounds on Saturday and Sunday to try to get tournaments in. With that said, I understand this was the most, or maybe this was the easiest way to try to deal with that. In other words, have a cut where, you know, you'd pay guys that would make them happy, but they wouldn't actually go on to play that weekend, which should speed up play. Of course, it just feels weird. I don't know how else to put it. It doesn't sound right to say you made a cut, but you're not going to play. Those two thoughts are incongruous. So I think they're right in trying to tweak this even further. I applaud them for trying to make a change in the beginning and then also realizing that the change probably isn't working, and further trying to figure out a way to make it work. I've said all along, if they would just enforce the slow play rules, that would probably negate the need to go through all this rigmarole. But if they're going to do this, hey, guys are going to be mad. I understand that. But you want to do it to low 70 in ties and then just say there's a cut, or low 65 in ties or something like that, then do it. I mean, the tour doesn't have a union. I mean, they have this advisory council, but they are not unionized. They're independent contractors. You know, the tour runs this thing. They're members of the tour. So the tour can dictate in a way really what they want to do. And if they want to speed up play for television or whatever to make sure these events are over at a reasonable hour and don't go into Monday, if there's a weather problem, whatever, then the tour has every right to do this. So I applaud them that they try to figure out a way to figure out how to speed up play. I applaud them that they're tweaking this, you know, even though it's very early in its stages that they've tried to implement this. But I still think they have a ways to go here, and hopefully this will work out for them.
Well, the new cut policy has come into effect 3 times in the season's first 7 weeks, but we realize first event of the season, limited field event, so there's only been 6 weeks where there's a chance for it to come in effect, and it's come in half the times. At the Sony Open, 18 guys made the financial cut but did not make the players' cut. That number was 19 at the Buick Invitational. So imagine how big these third-round fields would have been. I mean, 19 guys, you would have had, you know, 88 guys making the cut for Saturday at the Buick if this new rule wasn't in effect. That's pretty ridiculous. And we realize on the West Coast, they're already pressed for time for TV because it's an earlier start. So you got 3-man pairings always on the West Coast no matter what. That's kind of one of the reasons I'm looking forward to the Florida swing. So we're going to get our 2-man pairings on the weekends, because imagine today, it's really a 2-horse race anyway, Mickelson and Quinney, but, you know, John Rahm is going to kind of be the sore thumb today at Riviera. And then 10 players, of course, missed the cut at Pebble last week. So the 16-man Player Advisory Council has advised a 54-hole cut after a 36-hole cut if it's more than 78 players. If the board approves the proposal, the 9-man policy board, February 25th at the Honda Classic. The amended cut policy could become effective as early as the second event in the Florida Swing, which is the championship in Tampa. So working quickly. Kudos to the PGA Tour for working quickly to make a change. I don't know that this is the best change. I've said it all along, Pat. I think the answer is top 65 in ties.
I agree with you. Well, hey, wait till if Tiger, for whatever reason, you know, has a bad couple first days and makes the financial cut but doesn't make the ultimate cut, then you'll really see an uproar.
It's, of course, our PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Ropes segment. Think you're ready for the third toughest course on the PGA Tour? Take one of golf's ultimate tests at PGA National Resort and Spa. Visit PGAResort.com.
All right, Russ, number two goes to you. Butch Harmon, Tiger's old swing coach and now swing coach to Phil Mickelson and a bunch of other guys, came out and said this week that one of his current pupils, Adam Scott, is the best player under 30 in the world by far in terms of being able to challenge Tiger Woods. He did mention Luke Donald, Sergio Garcia. I was going to mention Ian Poulter, but he's over 30. So
I was just
going to
say,
count.
So Butch Harmon is pulling an Ian Poulter, isn't he?
Yes, Butch Harmon is saying that Adam Scott is the only young golfer who has the capabilities to challenge Woods. Your thoughts?
Well, first of all, Butch Harmon, I'm surprised because he's usually a guy that plays it closer to the vest and doesn't do this sort of thing. And A, my initial reaction was, why are you going to put this type of pressure on your prize pupil, Adam Scott? I don't know how Butch coming out and saying this, although I think I might agree with it in the end. I don't know how putting words to paper and making it public almost, I don't see how it helps necessarily. Having said that, I think Butch might be right. I think Adam Scott might be the best player under 30. I mean, the short list, you know, includes Sergio Garcia and Luke Donald and Paul Casey and Justin Rose. You know, maybe if you want to throw a couple of the Americans in there, Bubba Watson, you know, I'm not sure that he's up to the caliber of those players yet. I think Adam Scott's the best player. I think Adam Scott's the best player in the world that hasn't won a major, much less the best player under 30. So I think I agree with Butch Harmon on this, but my question is, why is it necessary to say this and put that much more pressure on Scott, who's a guy who, even though he won a Players' Championship in 2004, and even though he's won six or seven times on the PGA Tour, including the Nissan once already at Riviera, although it was a 36-hole event, so it's not official, we still think maybe he's underachieved because he still has yet to win a major. And now Scott, you know, he's 27 years old. I mean, he's not a young guy anymore. He's almost 30.
Well, I'm not going to say I disagree with you on the pressure statement, Russ. But truly, truly great players relish pressure. They Tiger Woods would have no problem at all with Butch Harmon saying something like this about him, because truly great players, I believe, like having this stuff out there. So you're right. I think if Adam is not, you know, secure in his belief that he is going to be the one guy that can challenge Tiger who's under 30, then this might sort of put him in like, oh my God, now my own swing coach thinks I got to, you know, start playing better than I do. But at the same time, you're right. You know, it is funny about Butch. He doesn't often come out there and put stuff out on the line like this. But he has done it in the past. I think he was critical of Tiger a few years ago, and he does it with this Sky television thing that he's involved with, which is mainly a European network. So he's thrown stuff out there as a commentator for these guys. But as Adam Scott's swing coach, you're right. I don't understand why he feels the need at this point to say something like this, because Adam Scott hasn't shown me. You know, he won that tour championship a couple years ago, but aside from that, as you mentioned, hasn't won a major. He won the Players, but hasn't really. You know, I don't get the sense. If you want my opinion, Russ, the best player under 30 to challenge Tiger isn't alive yet, or isn't out there. I haven't seen him. These other guys are decent players: Luke Donald, Sergio Garcia. But if you ask me, if these guys are going to challenge Tiger, I haven't seen it out of any of them right now, and they're all getting up there enough that if we would have seen it, we would have seen it by now. I think, you know, a guy who I mentioned last week, Jason Day, a 20-year-old, that's who it's going to be.
Right,
it's got to
right.
be. It's somebody that we still really haven't heard of yet. These guys that we know about that are in their 20s, they're not going to challenge.
Well,
Tiger.
I would say if it's not Adam Scott, and I think it probably is, I think the best player in the world under 30 is probably Justin Rose. He's ranked 7 in the world. He's the reigning Order of Merit champion, and he had the best finishes last year in the all four majors next to Tiger. Obviously, Tiger came in second at the Masters, second at the U.S. Open. I think he was 10th at the British, and then he won the PGA Championship. So his aggregate was 2, 2, 10 and 1, which is 15. So obviously the lower number, the better. Justin Rose was below 40 because he had a couple of top 10 finishes in the majors. He had, I think, a fourth or a fifth place finish at the Masters. I think Justin Rose, quite possibly, if it's not Adam Scott, best player under 30 in the world. But let me play armchair psychiatrist with you here, Pat. And I know we just heard the sounder, so we need to move on to our third topic. But real quickly, before we move off this topic, perhaps Butch Harmon, who's a smart guy, and this is kind of out of character for Butch, putting something out there. You know, if Adam Scott himself wants to come out and say it, that's one thing. But you're saying it about your pupil. I think that he would have had to have cleared this with Scott beforehand. I mean, do you think he would say this without Scott knowing? Or, here's the armchair psychiatrist part, do you think Harmon knows the best way to motivate Scott? I mean, he's been Scott's swing teacher for a decade. Do you think he knows him well enough now that he knows the best way to motivate him and get him to that next level is kind of spur him in the butt a little bit by doing this?
Yeah, that's. I don't think he cleared it with Scott beforehand. I don't think Adam Scott would ever permit Butch Harmon or anybody to say anything like this. I think it's exactly what he said. I think Butch has reached a point with Adam where he's just like, you know what, the swing is there, you know, your ability is there, something is missing in you, some fire that I need to see, and maybe this is Butch's way, as you mentioned, himself playing an armchair psychologist to try and get that out of him, and I think that's what Butch is trying to do here.